The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, on this wonderful Mother's Day that the Lord has provided, we rejoice in all the moms, wherever you are, moms. We love you. We appreciate you. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. Even with all the medical science and all the wonderful things they're doing, it still takes what mom's got and what dad's got in order to make you, all right? So we rejoice in that, and this is a special day on our calendar. And what I'd like to do is, as we get started this morning on this Mother's Day, is we want to show you a video. It's just a couple of minutes long, but Jim, if you can crank up that video, we will watch it, and we will be blessed for having watched it.
Today is a unique day, and it's far bigger than we think. Because there are many different kinds of mothers, and all are being honored today. For the mother who has chosen to stay at home while her children are little, may your patience be great and your influence even greater. For the single mom who never planned on doing this alone, may you be consistently strengthened by your Heavenly Father, and may you hear His voice singing over you. For the mother who strives to balance work outside the home with love inside the home, may you be given energy, validation, and hope as you make the leap from one world to another every day. For moms who had four mothers themselves, but who now refuse to let that pattern repeat itself, may the godly legacy you started be carried on for generations to come. For mothers with grown adult children, may today be filled with laughter and joy, and may you experience deep satisfaction and fulfillment. For women who have no biological children of their own, but who mother younger women as mentors, may you understand your role as a calling from God and as a transformation of their hearts. Today is a unique day. So for all the mothers we mentioned, and even those we didn't, be blessed, be honored, be filled with joy. You are making the world a better place, because you're filling it with a love that only a mom can give.
Amen. Happy Mother's Day, moms! Happy Mother's Day! And I don't know whether she's watching at this moment in time, but we have a new mommy in our family, and my granddaughter is a new mommy. And so she's, the baby's, I guess, a couple of weeks old now. She's growing. Beautiful baby. Looks just like her grandpa. Her great? Would somebody give me a walker, please? A great grandpa. That is me. Well, I knew I was great, and now it's proven. So, her name is Zoe. Happy birthday, Zoe. Glad you're here. I think you're 2 months old now, about 2 weeks old, whatever you are. And just blessings to her mommy and her daddy. And with that said and done, since this is Mother's Day, and we're in the midst of our Founding Fathers series, the Black Robe Regiment. I thought it would be appropriate for you to hear a little bit about some of the Founding Mothers. You know, the guys who did what they did couldn't do it without the gals that worked side by side and encouraged them to do great and wonderful things. So I've asked Ms. Pat to share something with us. And so, Pat, if you're ready, come up here and we'll let you. You might want to turn that camera on. There you go. Y'all heard the voice, but the camera wasn't on me. Now you can see my smiley face. There we go. And Pat, you come up here, and you can share.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day. Good morning, all who are watching as well. The spirit of what Maurice has been preaching on, the Black Royal Regiment, this is a little information about some of the women. It was not just the men who signed the Declaration of Independence who risked death and imprisonment or suffered personal tragedy, but their wives also did so as well, such as Elizabeth Lewis, wife of the Declaration signer Francis Lewis. The Lewis home was in Long Island, and during the British occupation there, soldiers were dispatched to capture Elizabeth and to destroy their property. As troops approached, a ship opened fire on the house. A cannonball even struck the right side of the house, right beside where she stood. But Elizabeth refused to yield or retreat. The British captured her, and she was eventually held her in dreary conditions with little food and no change of clothing. After several months, she eventually was free through the effort of George Washington and the Congress, but her health never recovered, and she died in 1779. In 1778, when John Quincy Adams was 11 years old and accompanying his father on a diplomatic mission to France, Abigail gave him the following advice. Adhere to those sentiments and principles which were early instilled in your mind, and remember that you are accountable to your Maker for all your words and all your actions. Young as you are, the cruel war in which we have been compelled by the haughty tyrant of Brittany and the bloody emissaries of his vengeance, may it stamp upon your mind this certain truth, that the welfare and the prosperity of all countries, communities, and may I add, individuals, depend upon your morals. A report from Abigail to her husband, John Adams, after the war at Bunker Hill. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but the God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Charleston was laid in ashes. The battle began upon our entrenchments at Bunker Hill, Saturday morning, about 3 o'clock, and has not ceased yet. And now it is 3 o'clock the Sabbath afternoon. It is expected that they will come over the neck tonight, and a dreadful battle will follow. Almighty God, cover the heads of our countrymen and be a shield to our friends. The mothers of our country, as we often use the term our forefathers, today we are reminded of our foremothers who loved God, their families, and their countries. So let us continue in their example of love and devotion and fortitude. And how do we do that? Let us endeavor to know Christ and to make him known to our children first of all, and then to all that we meet. Taking the advice of Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the wedding in Cana, John 2:25, his mother turned to the servants and said, "Do whatever he tells you." My prayer for you today on Mother's Day is from Proverbs 31, and it is this: she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husbands also. He praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. I'd just like to share just a personal, little personal word with you. And again, the light of what we're studying and our heritage as a Christian nation. My great-great-grandmother was the wife of a circuit-riding preacher. Her oldest son, my grandfather, was 12 years old when my great-grandfather started riding his circuit. My grandmother, that son's wife, was the mother of five children who were known for their faith throughout our family and in the communities where they lived. My own mother taught me the family that prays together stays together. And I remember her kneeling in front of her rocking chair when I was a little girl. This memory is very vivid to me. And I also remember the sounds of her knees sticking to the linoleum floor. One of my greatest joys is to chat with my daughter, my own daughter, Tiffany, about scripture, about a good word we've heard, about testimonies of God moving in someone's life, and we often pray together. Another great, great joy of my life is to hear my daughter talking to her daughter about scripture and good words from the Lord and teaching her to meditate on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Today, we give thanks, even as our song said, with a grateful, grateful heart. We give thanks and we celebrate the lives of all of our mothers of this great nation and the daughters of the King, King Jesus, our forever King. Godly women who have gone before us, who are among us, and who are yet to come. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Pat. Amen. Good work. Good work. I think it's appropriate that we continue in our series. I had thought about bringing you a special Mother's Day message, but in light of all that's happening, and the fact that we're a handful of people in our church today, and many of you who would love to be in church are at home. Some of you I've talked to personally, and because of health and age and the fear of the coronavirus, it's good for you not to be here, maybe. But you're missed. And I wanted to continue with our message because today I want to talk about liberty. And it's important that we realize that we are a free people, that we're here because of people like Abigail, who sacrificed her own personal safety. She was in Boston Harbor when the British showed up with an armada of ships. Her husband was off in Philadelphia working, trying to forge together this great nation. She wrote many letters of the hardship and what it felt like. You know, today we think about the hardship of this pandemic and that which was taking place. They faced the hardships of cannons, of guns, of the smallpox. It was a hard, hard time for the people of that day. We look with the eyes of history and we hear the music in our ears and we see the flag waving proudly, but we don't see is the hardships on the families, the mothers who sent their sons and their husbands off the battle, never to see them again. So I think it's appropriate that we honor mothers by talking about the things that happened to allow us to be here today. So we'll do that. We'll continue and Jim's got the overhead ready for me, and if I can push the buttons. The first thing I want you to look at is the First Amendment to our Constitution. We've been using this each week. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging, which means to reduce, the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of people, peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of satisfaction for wrongs done, of grievances. So, every man, every woman who's ever sat where I stand today, or stood where I stand today, who taught and preached, balances between the scriptures and being a on fire, zealot Christian, and being a patriot on fire for our nation. So the founders of our government believed that God existed and was involved in the affairs of men and involved in the building of this country. Like one of them said that if God is not in what we're doing, it will surely not come to pass and it will surely fail. So they believed that God gave rights and that governments could not change those rights. There were things that inherently given to man that governments were to watch over. The unchangeable rights of man must be protected. That's what governments do. Protect the God-given rights that we have. In this three-week series of the Black Robe Regiment, and the reason I'm wearing this, I've said each week, for those of you who may be watching for the first time, is that the preachers of the gospel in the pulpits of the 1700s were the tip of the sword that blazed the trail for the men who picked up the weapons of war and delivered our country from the grasp of a tyrant. So, we talked about life last week. We're going to talk about liberty today, and God willing, next week we'll talk about the pursuit of happiness. So I want to continue with government's responsibility to preserve liberty. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is the King James Version. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is the Lord Jesus in his first really public place where he spoke and taught. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. And I'll put here parenthetically, that's the Greek word of phasis, which means liberty. So they could have said just as easily, to preach liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty, and there's that Greek word again, them that are bruised. In the Declaration of Independence, they wrote, we, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assemble, appeal to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude, its righteousness, of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United States are and of right ought to be free and independent states. Freedom, liberty, declared, written down. I have a philosophy of dealing with things. It's one thing to say something. It takes on a life of its own when you write it down. I saw that in business when I used to run my business, that I could say things to businessmen and say, this is what we're going to do. But when I wrote it down and signed it and gave it to them, it had a lot more meaning to them. They knew that I was serious. And here you see the seriousness of the Lord Jesus, who spoke, inspired men to write it down, we just read. And the same was true of those who provided our freedom. Jesus saw oppression and he declared liberty to them. People were in bondage. People were hurting. Just like today. In our country today, coexisting with the coronavirus is a spirit of fear. You can't see either one, but they're both deadly. Deadly. It's one of the reasons that our president, he's made moves, and I'm disappointed in Governor Edwards that he's slow in getting this done for Louisiana, needs to set the people free.
Yes.
People need to go to work. They need to assemble together. They need to be in church. Those of you who are watching over the Facebook and over the internet, I appreciate you being here and watching. But there's a vast difference between where you are and where we are in this building, those that are here. You can see me. You can get close enough to touch me, which you can't right now. But to see me, to have the small conversations that we have before services and how are you doing and asking about the welfare and the way things are going on, it means a lot. I wrote a letter to someone recently, a pastor, and I told him that the sheep need their shepherd. God put shepherds in place for a reason, because shepherds do what shepherds do. They protect, they watch over, they care for, they feed, they water, they pray for, they heal, they lead, all of those things. And that dispels fear. People who are afraid take great comfort in being with their pastor and being in their church. I saw one time when I had to go to the hospital, my little baby was dying, and the doctors had surrounded the crib. The baby was, maybe 2 months old, been beaten by the dad, and it was dying. And all those medical people, when a pastor walked in, they recognized the authority, and they said, "Are you the pastor?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And they opened up and said, "Come and pray." And I did. Sadly, that child didn't survive. But even people in the medical profession, who I don't know whether they were church people or not, they recognize what a pastor is and what he does. And it's important that we gather together in our churches. It's important for the well-being of our nation. The Declaration of Independence detailed the abuses of England and asked God to judge the validity of their actions. They said they appealed to the supreme judge of the world to judge their intentions. Freedom is not a license to do anything you want, but the liberty to do what you want. In fact, our mothers taught us about liberty and freedom with these four words: go to your room. And she wasn't kidding. Your liberty was taken away from you. I remember a guy who did something very similar. One of his children in particular was giving him a hard time, and the boy would slam off to his room, close his door, and have his liberty and his freedom within his door. Well, his dad just took the door off the hinges, so he couldn't hide away. So that's another way of reducing your liberty, which he did. These words of mom, wait till your father gets home. Every boy hated to hear those words, and every girl. More boys more than girls. Because they knew that the beatings would commence. I don't think they do as much beating as they used to. They probably ought to. They do a kids a lot of good. There's nothing bad happens to the posterior of a child that will hurt them. It'll help them. So that's what families do, and when freedom is there, the people of America have the liberty to correct government. The rights of the people is the rights of the people to alter or abolish government. I spoke to you about that last week in some detail. When the government's wrong, we need to speak up and say something. I am on the verge of speaking up about some things that I believe have been done wrong during this pandemic. And that is the unlawful intrusion into the religious behavior of the churches in our nation. You can't throw the Constitution away and the laws away just because something untoward has happened. And you'll be hearing some more about that later. I don't know what exactly is going to happen, but I've got some appointments set up to talk to some people in authority to address this, because I've talked to some, and they said, well, you're just like a business. And I said, no. Businesses have no rights that you don't give to them. I have a right that was given to me by the Constitution of the United States. The First Amendment, the very first order of business said, leave the people of faith alone. And you can't put that on side for a pandemic or anything else. You can get help, they can warn us, and we can do what's necessary to protect our flock. I promise you that the pastors of churches are much more interested in the safety of their flock than the U.S. government is. I promise you that's true. So, we've seen pastors arrested. They have been instructed to take names of everyone who comes into their buildings and to report that information to the government. Now, they always window dress things when they try to take your liberty away from you. And the window dressing is, well, that way, in case someone catches the virus in church, we can track down who was there and test them and make sure that everything is okay. Well, you'll just have to find a better way, because you're not getting any names here, thank goodness. It hasn't happened here, but it is being asked. I don't know if it passed. I know that it was trying to be done down in New Orleans, and it's being done in several other states. So, again, interfering with our liberty and our freedom we've been given. As I mentioned earlier, the third biggest day in our nation is Mother's Day. And mothers are suffering because they're not seeing their children. Children are suffering, they're not seeing their moms. The candy industry is suffering because people aren't out buying. Hallmark cards is suffering. Do you know there are hundreds of billions of dollars? Let me rephrase. I don't know if it's hundreds, but tens of billions of dollars is spent. This is one of the biggest money years in our economy, and that's Mother's Day. Restaurants. The money people spend in restaurants, taking mom to dinner. All those things are not happening today on this Mother's Day. I want to show you something that Thomas Jefferson said. He said, the natural progress of things is for liberty to yield and the government to gain ground. Let me read that to you again. The natural progress of things is for liberty to yield and the government to gain ground. And the ground that you give up, you can never regain. They recognize it in the 1700s, in the early 1800s, of what was going on and trying to send us a warning to be careful. So let's look at a couple of things about liberty. You have liberty to present to your posterity. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. 1 Peter 2:16. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. And in the Declaration of Independence. And for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The founders knew that unless Americans lived virtuous lives, liberty would be fleeting. The holders of liberty are honor-bound to live honorable lives. Freedom from sin by Christ enables victory over sin. We were liberated from sin so that we could be free and we could serve Him and live a life without fear of judgment, without fear of eternal damnation, without fear of the guilt. There's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 6 where Isaiah saw the Lord and said that one of the seraphim brought a burning coal from the altar and touched his lips. And they said, your guilt has been removed and your sins have been atoned for. Atoned for. And that's what Christ gives us. He gives us that liberty. And it was, soon as that happened, Isaiah said, heard the Lord say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he said, here am I, Lord, send me. Famous words that all church people know. Freedom carries the illusion that you have complete freedom of actions with no fear of consequences. That's an illusion. Freedom allows us to do what is right with a full understanding that when we do wrong, there are consequences. You know, we're a grace church, you know. We're not worried about breaking any of the Ten Commandments and going to hell. But there are consequences. You break those Ten Commandments, there are consequences for it. You lie, you get caught. And you will get caught. You'll pay a consequence for it. You steal. You cheat. You covet other people's good. You don't worship God. You don't care for your neighbor. All those things have a consequence. Paul said that those who had such thoughts that they could do whatever they wanted to do, I could almost see Paul slap his forehead and say, God forbid that you would be so dumb as to think such a foolish thought. Freedom in Christ makes you a slave to Christ. Slaves belong to their masters. Scripture says we've been bought with a price. We belong to the Lord, and therefore we follow Him and we serve Him in the liberty and the freedom that He has provided for us. Slaves to Christ live because He gave them life. We live because He gave us life. If you don't have life, you don't have to worry about anything. You're dead. In fact, it says that before Christ came into your life, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, but now you've been made alive in Christ Jesus. Slaves to Christ trust Him to always be honorable. You know, people ask many times why God allows things to happen or where was God when things happened. By faith, we know, we may not understand, but we know that God always does the right thing. And that when evil shows up, we know that God can take that which the devil intended for evil and He can turn it for good. You know, I'm not real crazy about all this Facebook and Internet and all the other stuff. As I said earlier, it doesn't replace anything. But through the work of the evil, and I believe it's the work of evil, we couldn't have our National Day of Prayer like we normally would. We normally go down to Heritage Park and we put on a big shindig and we end up with a couple hundred folks. Well, this Thursday, which was the past Thursday, was the National Day of Prayer. We couldn't do that. So we had to gather together, a small group similar to what we have here, and we prayed and we used Facebook and Internet and YouTube. The last count I had, which was Tuesday afternoon, and I know it's a lot more now, there were over 550 people who tuned in for the National Day of Prayer in Slidell. If you magnify that, you know, around the nation, there are a lot more people praying because of these ingenious devices that we have that would have otherwise been praying. So we know that God hears our prayers and God is honorable and God will take those things that the devil intended for evil and turn it unto good. I'm not, that doesn't mean next year I'm looking forward to doing Facebook, but I can tell you this, next year we'll do Facebook and the internet and everything else while we meet at the park. Because not everybody can come, but we can all be there. American liberty exists because God endowed America with liberty. When God is removed from the equation, liberty ceases. All right? When God is removed from the equation, liberty ceases. The Declaration of Independence declared a dependence on God's protection. It says, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. That's just a fancy word they used to say. Today we'd say it on God Almighty. You know, it's just the way that they said it in that day. America quits recognizing God. If it does, God is removed, will remove his protection. Someone, I think it was here last week, we were talking about this very subject, and there was a tragedy that happened in the school some time back, and people said, where was God? And somebody replied, he's right where you put him, outside the walls. We drove God outside the school, and we suffer the consequences of that today. So the founding fathers set a standard for American life. They gave their word, their vow, to protect each other. I love the words are on the screen up here. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Many of them lost their lives, many of them lost their fortunes, but none of them lost their sacred honor. You know, we just read, Pat just read about a lady whose husband was a signer of the Declaration of Independence who suffered the loss of her home, ended up in a jail, lost her health because of it, and died shortly thereafter. So their word was more valuable than their lives. And that's the way we ought to be. Our word is more valuable than our lives. Wealth would not separate them from their fellow Americans, and their honor was sacred and would not be dishonored. You know, one of the things that probably perturbs me more than anything else is when government officials don't keep their word. They say things on the campaign trail, but it's rhetoric. As soon as the last vote is cast and counted, and they win, it seems they have a sudden case of amnesia. The only exception to that I've seen, at a level that I've seen it, is with President Trump. What he said he would do, he has tried to do, he would get it all done except for some great resistance by the swamp to keep him from doing it. The swamp creatures are bigger and stronger and more plentiful than Donald Trump thought that they were. And I want to say on a local level that our new mayor, Greg Cuomo, said the things he was going to do, and he's done more than he said he would do. He's exceeded my personal expectations, and we're so thankful to have him as our mayor. So, the other thing I want to talk to you about is you have liberty to preserve for your posterity. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We read this earlier. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You see the work of our shepherd? To bring the gospel to the poor. Those who are poor in spirit, those who are hurting. You know, we have people today, last count I heard, some 30-some-odd million newly unemployed people. I don't know about you, but most people I know don't get a paycheck. They're in trouble. That means bills are not getting paid. That's stress. One of the biggest stressful things that happens in any family is finances. And if their finances are gone, so people are being made poor. They want to work, but they can't. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We are brokenhearted people. People have lost. We've lost thousands and tens of thousands of Americans to this virus. And to those who, you know, numbers are not personal. When it's your mother, your dad, your brother, your husband, that's your personal. Wife, it's personal when they're brokenhearted. That's what Jesus came to do, to preach deliverance, liberty to those who are captive. Many people are captive to you know. You know, one of the businesses that is booming, and making more money than they've ever made before during this pandemic? Pornography. It is a booming. People are held captives. They're captives. And we need to preach their liberation. The recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those that are bruised. Those who can't see, we need to help them so that they can see. And those that are hurting, we need to help them so that they can heal. Liberty cannot be contained in a nation or an individual. It must be shared, no matter the cost. We need to proclaim not just the liberty of a nation, but the liberty of a soul, that they can be set free. Jesus said he'd give liberty to the captives and the oppressed because God's Spirit was upon him. Those of us who are God's children, who have God's Spirit upon us, we have a responsibility to proclaim this word, this gospel, to people who are hurting. God knew his mission would be dangerous. Jesus knew what he was doing was dangerous, and it would cost him. Liberty for you and me cost him his life, so that we are here today and we can pursue happiness. Without God, there is no true happiness. There is no true joy. There is no true wealth. There is no true hope. But it's in Christ that we have hope and liberty and freedom and joy unspeakable and filled with glory, the scripture says. So, liberty carries the burden of stewardship, so we must preserve it. Listen to what John Adams had to say. You will never know how much it cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make a good use of it. I often wonder what would they say if these men and women of the 1700s were to come to America today and see some of the things that are going on. I believe they would probably think it's time to break out the muskets and the swords again. I was speaking with someone this week about this very subject, about the abuse of power that is ignored the First Amendment to the Constitution. He said, we need to remember that a great price was paid for us to have that. A great price. Tens of thousands of our countrymen died. They left their homes, they left their farms. You know, it wasn't like it is today. When a man lived on a farm and he picked up his musket and he went to war to fight for freedom of this nation, there was no one to take care of his family. There was no money from the government to support them. They had to live off the land. And those families, those mothers, those children were subjected to severe hardship so that their husbands could go fight for the liberty that you enjoy today. And many of them never went home. And many of those women ended up in abject poverty for their entire lives because they had no way to maintain the life of that they had on those farms. It's a lot of work. I'm not saying women aren't hard workers, but they needed their husbands there, and their husbands were gone. And many of their children, we all saw that movie, I'm sure, The Patriot with Mel Gibson, and it shows that the children and the price that children paid, if you were old enough, you carry a gun and you could fight, they went to war. We said, well, gee, nobody would send kids off to war. We did it in World War II. It was illegal for them to do it, but But they volunteered to go to war for this nation when they were 16, 17 years old. I read a story about a guy who got caught when he was 17 years old. Everybody thought he was 19 because he just lied. And when they found out they wanted to send him home, boy, he fought tooth and nail for them not to send him back home. And actually, he persuaded them because his birthday occurred while they had him locked up trying to send him home. And his birthday came and he was old enough. And so they said, okay, well, you can stay now. So, you know, when you think about those things, and you think about what was done for us to be here, I know in many ways I'm preaching to the choir, but not all the choir, because many who are watching probably haven't heard this. There's not every pastor that brings this information to their congregation. Sadly, they should. It's not being taught in school very much anymore. And so that truth is disappearing, and people don't know the great price freedom had attached to it. We all honor Jesus and what he did, but I'm telling you, that freedom was for our souls. But the freedom that we enjoy in this nation cost countless men and women their lives, their fortunes, their style of life. Those things disappear. And we cannot forget that. And we cannot let that get out of hand. Governments can't interfere with the free exercise of religion. John Adams also said this, a constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever. Let me read that again, because I know you've never heard this. Second President of the United States of America, one of the men who founded our nation, signed the Constitution, not the Constitution, but the Declaration of Independence, who left his family for 7 years and lived in France so that he could forge a contract to get money to support our nation. This guy, who gave it up, said this, a constitution of government, once changed from freedom. In other words, if you make a law that takes away freedom, can never be restored. What the government takes, the government never gives back. Liberty once lost is lost forever. Lost forever. This bastion of freedom is tenuous. And it's more tenuous than I thought it was. I never dreamed in a million years that in one day a switch could be thrown and our nation could be set on the road to poverty, set on the road to losing its freedom, to hear governors of states say and do the things that they do. You all saw that woman who wanted to take care of herself and her employees and opened her salon and was put in jail, and an unrighteous, ungodly man, a judge, said that he wouldn't lock her up if she would apologize to him for her behavior, which she did. And she said, Judge, if that's what you want to do, you'll have to do it. And they locked her up. Fortunately, the governor intervened. I believe it was the governor. And after 2 days, managed to get her out of jail. It's happening, friends. There are ungodly people in positions of power who would like nothing better than to rob you of your liberty. They would do it. And I'm not talking about in China or in Russia or in Korea or in some far reaches of the world. I'm talking about right here in the good old USA. Am I trying to frighten you? I'm trying to wake you up. This, if nothing else, what's happened with the coronavirus is a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call for every American to pay attention and to vote and to vote righteousness, to call to bring their elected officials to an understanding that we as a people will not live under the boot of tyrants within our nation. These people in 1776, that's exactly what was happening. Their rights were being taken away from them. Rights that they had voted on, rights that they had in the colony, and King George III was taking those rights away one after another, after another, after another, and it forced them, and they tried diligently to get the king into England to stop doing these things. They refused. They put their boot further down on the neck of the colonies and forced them to do what they did. And I'm thankful that they did. Because of what they did, I'm here. The Declaration of Independence believed it was the duty of Americans to liberate their countrymen. And we must ensure that the next generation has the freedom to exercise liberty. I've got to make sure that Zoe has a free nation to grow up in. That's my responsibility. You name your grandkids, your great-grandkids, and your kids. And if we won't do it, let me ask you a question. Who is going to do it? We need to speak out. Some of our kids, unfortunately, we spent money and sent them off to liberal schools and colleges, and their minds were poisoned. Don't get mad at me, but I'm going to say something that needs to be said. I don't know that the public school system in our nation is a safe haven for you to send your children. Yeah. Now, I know that there are good teachers, and I know that there are godly people, and I know that there are people who care. We're fortunate in St. Tammany. We've got a godly man in charge of the school board, and we've got godly people on the school board, not all, but some. I know that, but I'm telling you, the curriculums that they're teaching are not what you want taught. And when they leave the grammar school and high school and end up in college, what they're being taught is an abomination. You know what drove me to Christianity? It was my alma mater, the University of Houston. I've told the story before, but I'm going to tell it again this morning briefly. I was taking a course in ancient literature. I had to take it. It was a freshman course, and because I had transferred into the University of Houston, I had to take this class. There were about 250, 300 students in the class. It was a big class. And this professor was teaching why he did this. God only knows. He said that the Bible is exactly like all the other forms of ancient literature. It's filled with words and pictures and imagery, but none of it's true. He said the Bible is like any other book, but it's not what people say that it is. And I sat there, and I wasn't a kid. I was old enough to know better. I was 31 years old at the time, maybe 32. And I heard that, I said, that is true. I mean, that learned professor with all those degrees wouldn't lie to me and all these other kids in this room. And I went to see one of my college professors that I had befriended while I was at the University of Houston. This guy, his name was Jim Nolan. I don't mind mentioning his name. He's probably dead by now. If he's alive, he's old. All right. He was one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. He had degrees from Yale, Emory, Stanford, New York, Yale, Harvard. He had doctorate degrees or doctorate degrees. He was brilliant. And I called him up and I said, I called him Jim. I knew him that well. I said, can we have coffee? He said, sure. I went to have coffee with him. And I asked him, I said, and the reason I asked this question, because he was an elder in his church. I knew that. So he was the closest thing to a godly man that I knew. And so I asked him, I said, Jim, what do you believe about the Bible? And he was a, taught psychology, and he used a psychological trick on me. And he said, well, Morris, what do you believe? And I said, I believe that the Bible is like all the other ancient literature, filled with myths and stories and images, and it's a lie that's been put out on the people of the world. He said, that's true. That's exactly what it is. And then I said, what and who was Jesus Christ? And again, he said, you tell me. I said, Jesus Christ was a charlatan. He was a man like any other man, and he had a political following, and I'm sure he did like a lot of good things, but of all the things he wasn't the Son of God. And when he died forever. And Jim said, that's exactly true. And I spent the next year telling everybody I knew, I became an evangelist for evil. I told everybody I knew, especially with my drinking buddies and my intellectual bunch that I was working with in the space industry. And I said, you know, all that baloney about the Bible and smoking my cigarettes and drinking my whiskey and touting my lies. Told as many people as I could who Jesus was. Well, the good news is it just took Jesus a year to get me to my knees. And when I got to my knees, I said, Lord, I believe. I believe everything in the Bible, from the Holy Bible in the front to the bonded leather on the back and everything in between. I believe it. I got gloriously saved. But I tell you that story because I got it in school. I got it in a university where mothers and dads send their children for higher education. We walked away from the institutions. We let them exist. We have these heathens by the thousands teaching our kids, and you can't fire them. You know why? Because somebody developed this thing called tenure. And if you get tenure, you cannot be fired. Well, if you can be, it takes an act of Congress for you to lose your job. And they're there year after year, poisoning the minds of our young people. Are there exceptions? Of course there are exceptions. But the rule, and the reason I say that's the rule, because I hear what the young generation says, and I see where the young generation is. How many young people are in church today? If they could be. They're not there. We've lost them. The last statistic I saw was that the young people, less than those like 25 to 19, the number is about 14%. Why not? Did mom and dad take them to church? Maybe. What did they learn in school? I don't know. Anyway, I didn't plan on saying that, but since I was there, I said it. Please write me letters if you want. I'll be glad to answer your letters. There is hope. I don't want to leave you with hopelessness. And hopelessness is be involved and speak up and say things and do things. Get the laws passed. Be involved. That's the key word, involvement. So, where am I? I lost my crap. Here we go. You have liberty to defend it for your posterity. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Talking about spiritually, all right? Declaration of Independence. In every stage of this of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. The Declaration of Independence says that. America is one generation away from tyranny and slavery, and the gospel is one generation away from an age of spiritual darkness. It's that tenuous. It's that close. That's why every generation needs to carry its load. We stand at a dangerous crossroads right now in history. When freedom fails, the gospel cannot be preached. When freedom fails, the gospel cannot be preached. When the land is void of the gospel, true freedom ceases. We need the liberty to speak to those who are broken and downhearted and steeped in sin and pornography and ignorance. We need to tell them, I was an intellectual pinhead with 1972, but the gospel of Christ spoken to me by a free man told me that Christ could forgive my sins and heal my wounded heart and change my life. And when I prayed and asked Christ in my life, I changed. I don't even know who that guy was. I can tell you stories, but I don't know who he was. The Morris and Angelo in 1972 on August the 7th. But on August the 8th, you're looking at him. The guy who got changed on August the 8th in 1972. By the free gospel preached to me that I could be set free from sin and liberated. When the land is void of the gospel of truth, freedom ceases. We cannot lay down our spiritual arms. The Black Robe Regiment delivered a free gospel to us. They spoke up in fear of their own freedom as they spoke against England, and we need to continue today to speak the truth against our own government when it fails. The United States government, the governor of Louisiana, had no legal right to close down this church and every other church in the state of Louisiana. They did it. And those who said, well, it's okay, they did it because we're afraid of people's health. You do not set aside the Constitution of the United States because of the circumstances that are going on. They should have come to the church leaders and said, we believe this coronavirus is dangerous, and we believe your people are in danger. What would you like to do? And let us help you to help your people. And I would have been the first guy in line and said, well, what can we do? You know, do we need to shut it down for a couple of weeks and see what's going to happen? I'm sure we can take care of that. We'd have agreed, but we didn't. They didn't ask. And the church should be open now. It should be. It's been long enough. We've discovered that this virus has been contained. It's not as bad as they thought it was. Read the Slidell Independent newspaper for this week. There are copies in the lobby. Go get one. Go online. And just see the statistical information yourself. So, and where we live, now this is not New York City, but where we live, it's time to reopen the churches. So, listen to what Patrick Henry said. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. That's Patrick Henry. That's what he said. And it's absolutely true. Today, liberty's on the auction block. Will we sell it to be free from COVID-19 and not get sick? Will we sell it for jobs and entertainment? Will we sell it for fear of what it might cost us to stand up and say something? There's a price to speak out. Not everyone gonna love you. I've already got people who don't love what I'm saying. But I've got history and truth and the facts on my side. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I've been working on this for a long time and learning and studying and reading and trying to get a grasp for what we are. I'm 80 years old. I don't know how many more years I've got left, but somebody young who's listening to me, you pick up the banner. You pick up the Bible. You pick up the sword. You pick up the pen and do something so that there's something that'll be here when this body of mine is in its grave. My work will be done. I'll be finished. Maybe the end of the day for me today. Maybe next year, maybe 5 years. I don't know. But somebody else needs to jump up and say, like Isaiah wrote, "Here am I, send me." I want to close with this. I ended last week with this quote from Patrick Henry, and I want to end again with it today. "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And he died. He died for what he believed in, so that you could be here. America needs another set of brave men and women, the cut of John and Abigail Adams. The gospel needs men and women of the caliber of Timothy and his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, who taught Timothy. Do what you can, where you can, when you can, before there's nothing left that you can do. Next week, God willing, we'll talk about how to exercise your right to pursue happiness. To pursue happiness. That's on the agenda for next week. Now, before I close, let me get a little sip of water. Don't leave. Don't turn off the cameras yet. I've got something for moms. And moms, I know you're probably not getting a steak dinner or a lobster that you were expecting today, and you're not with your family the way you hope to be. But I want to give you a blessing. And this blessing is mine. I wrote it, but I took some familiar scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and I changed them around a little bit. Now, I know that there are those that don't change one word, you know, don't remove a jot or a tittle. I'm removing them and changing today for you to hear this. I'm not saying this is Deuteronomy 28. I'm just saying I just used it as an outline to say what I wanted to say. Ladies, let's pray. Father, I pray that you will bless the mothers, the wives, the widows, and amazing women of New Beginnings Church, of Slidell, of Louisiana, of America, and of the whole world. Bless them with peace in the midst of unsettled times. Bless them with hope as hopelessness infects them like a virus. Bless them with the love of their children, their husbands, their friends. And bless them with your presence wherever they go. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you because you follow the Lord your God and willingly sacrifice for those you love. Blessed shall you be in your house, and blessed shall you be wherever you go. Blessed shall be your children, those by birth and those chosen by love. Blessed shall be your labors for your family and the loving care you have given so that others can prosper. Blessed shall be your house and all that is within it that makes your house a home. Blessed shall you be when you're at home, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way, and they will flee before you seven ways. And so shall you be blessed all the days of your life, and you will be blessed in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. With that said, you are dismissed. Thank you for coming. Thank you for those who worked so hard to put on this production for the Facebook and the Internet. God bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.